It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. On the show today, Pedro Gomez will be with us. It's appropriate to have Pedro on talking baseball today with the passing of the great Yogi Berra. Thought of my friend Joe Garagiola Sr. this morning here in the Valley. I'm not going to call Joe just a few hours after Yogi's passing. Say, hey, can you jump on the air? It's not me. And I know Joe well enough to respect his privacy for a little bit of time. So we'll talk with Pedro about Yogi Berra passing away. The Diamondbacks, you know, I don't know if the Dodgers are that good or not. Maybe they're just, it's because Greinke and Kershaw met on the mound the last couple of nights. Now, the last time we had Pedro, it was not last time, 2 weeks ago, Pedro was in Texas at this high school football little brouhaha that was a big national story, where two high school players ran into an official on purpose. There's been some developments on that story this morning that an assistant coach ordered the kids to hit the referee. And Pedro was working that story, so we'll have some follow-up on that. We've got the video of that as well. Michael Fabiano, guys, because it's Wednesday. My fantasy team did not blow this last week. Adrian Peterson finally woke up, and Carson Palmer got it done for me. The rest of my team is just dreadful. So I've got to talk to Fabiano about trying to get some things fixed there. Who's to start, who to sit. Lots of questions with Michael Fabiano. That comes up at about 10:35. Some of what is on my mind this morning is Yogi Berra passing away? And I'll just be brief on this one. So tonight, if you are a fan of the game or a fan of sport, you have to understand Yogi Berra was not a big, physically imposing man, just about 5 feet eight. And he was somebody that won numerous awards and was thought of as a comedian in some circles because of his mouth props. That's what he was known for after he played. But he was a tremendous baseball player, and I'll talk to Pedro about that in a minute. So Yogi would have these Yogi-isms, and I would advise you tonight that if you have the baseball ticket, I am certain that Vin Scully tonight on the Dodgers Diamondbacks broadcast is going to start waxing poetically of stories of Yogi Berra and some of his malprops. I have a whole list of them here in front of me, and that will spread out over the show today. But I would say that's some must-watch tonight, along with our TV show at 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock on Fox Sports Arizona. But that's another story. Vin Scully told a story of Yogi Berra talking to Hank Aaron at the plate. Envision this. So Yogi's catching. Hank Aaron is at the plate. Yogi says, your bat label's upside down. Aaron, I'm not up here to read. I love that story. I just love that story. Yogi Berra on social life. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. That's probably one of the best known. It's not over till it's over. It gets late early out here. On the human anatomy, I don't know if they were male or female fans running naked across the field. They had bags over their heads. I think that's pretty funny. On receiving advice, take it with a grin of salt. On the weather, it ain't the heat, it's the humility. On finance, a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. On baseball, in baseball, you don't know nothing. Quote, we made too many wrong mistakes. Quote, so I'm ugly. I never saw anyone hit with this face. You know, I could go on with the Yogi-isms, and there's lists of them. If you're a Yankees fan, between about the years of 1949-50 to the mid-60s with Yogi Berra, were those Yankee teams as good or better? And I don't know. I wasn't there, and I didn't study Yankee history inside and out, other than growing up and studying the game some. Those Yankee teams in that era were dominant, much like the Yankee teams were later. Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical. I love that quote. So we'll talk with Pedro in a couple of minutes about that. The high school player story is trending, and I don't build this show off of what is trending all the time. If all we do is say we're going to be here, there. Sometimes I see stories that are a little ways down the road. Like the 49ers Cardinals isn't trending. Doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it today. And we will. But this high school player story took a really strange twist. And it's one of those that if you put yourself in this position, and it's pretty easy to just say, oh, well, kids should know better than to run over a referee. So this happened a couple of weeks ago. An assistant coach at John Jay High School in San Antonio has now told his school principal that he ordered his players, You see the video here that he ordered his players to do this.
It disgusts me. When you told me that this morning, it's just disgusting.
So, and we had wondered about this off the top, that if, and that's the worst shot, is just seeing it from that angle. So the assistant coach at John Jay in San Antonio tells the school principal that he did order the players to hit a referee in the game.
Is he taking a fall for the kids, you think, or is this all truth?
Well, I don't know. The kids are, one's a 15-year-old who's a sophomore. The other's a 17-year-old. Each later today are going to have disciplinary hearings. And that's the interesting side of this story. So Rojas and Marino, the two kids that blindsided the official Robert Watts late in the fourth quarter of a game in Marble Falls, Texas. Over the weekend, there was another bit of video that surfaced of a high school kid running over a referee in a game in Tennessee. To me, it was nothing more than clickbait. It just looked like a kid that was running after a player, but nonetheless, they're investigating it. So this team's secondary coach, Mac Breed, admitted, quote, he directed the students to make the referee pay for his racial comments and calls. Now, what you say on that front is the assistant coach was claiming that the referee was using the N-word. The referee was using some other inappropriate language offensive to Hispanics. The referee, Robert Watts, has declined to comment, but his attorney said that Watts denies he used racist remarks of any kind. And even if he did, should a coach tell a player, I'm not excusing, that's disgusting behavior. It's just disgusting behavior all the way around on this. If a referee used offensive language, I have to side with the referee on what I know at this point, because I don't think that the coach has much credibility at all, because he didn't come out and say from the beginning, yeah, I ordered the kids to do this. It had to be investigated. So we're going to find out today what type of penalty the kids get. And I think that's the side of this story that I'm really struggling with. We automatically think that 15 and 17-year-olds should know that running into an official blindsided on purpose is something that you just don't do. And I side on that side of the street. But there is this that you have to consider. If your head coach or an assistant coach, your position coach, tells you to go do something, do you go do it? Do you sweep the leg using an example from Karate Kid? Okay, that's a little hokey. Sweep the leg. But it's something that you guys can relate to.
That was much more than sweeping the leg, what those kids did.
You know, you're right. But it was still a coach telling a kid, go do this. You know, I had coaches that I was getting recruited in basketball in high school. I was pretty good. And I had coaches that asked me to please be more physical. My frame was pretty thin, and colleges wanted to see me be more physical. They also wanted to see me shoot outside a little bit more. And I followed my coach, even though I didn't feel like I was the most physical player. And I got thrown out of a couple games because I just didn't know what to do. But I was following my coach's instructions. Just taking my own personal opinion here. Do these kids have father figures that have taught them, you know right from wrong, you should never follow through, you don't jump off the cliff? We automatically go down that path. But again, it's 15 and 17-year-olds listening to a grown adult telling them what to do. So I'm going to talk to Pedro about that in a little bit. Seattle getting Cam Chancellor back, and the Cardinal fans are just freaking out on social media over this. Look, there's a few things. Seattle has the stinking, most awful Chicago Bears coming into town this weekend. Jimmy Clausen is 1-10 all time as a starting quarterback. We saw how just dreadful the Bears are. They're not going to win in Seattle this week. I don't know what I could do to lay my life down on the line about it, but they're not going to beat the Seahawks this weekend. It's not happening. So the Seahawks have had a tough schedule. They're going to come back, and they're going to be right there with the Cardinals. That's just how it's going to be. Doesn't matter if it's September 23rd or December 23rd. The Seahawks and Cardinals are not going to disappear from one another in the rearview mirror. It's not going to happen. On the Cardinals' end, so Colin Kaepernick has become a different player this year. Remember, he worked out in the offseason here in the Valley with Kurt Warner, Dennis Guile. Those are guys that are working out with Colin Kaepernick. In fact, I'm going to talk about it on the TV show a little bit tonight. So Kaepernick is somebody that the Cardinals cannot let break free for the 10, 15. If it's 3rd and 9 and he gets 12, you cannot allow that to happen this weekend. And if they get Mike Iupati back on their offensive line is not allowed a sack yet. And you bring him back as a road grader on the run offense, now you got some things going. For a team that its offensive line looked putrid in training camp, and they're trying to figure things out through the first two games. And again, it's the Saints and the Bears. It's not the most difficult a competition. But nonetheless, they're 2-0 and the offensive line has kept Carson relatively clean. So that's of interest to me too. And I'll step aside here for Pedro. I want to get Pedro on a little bit early today. I'll get into the college football stuff. UCLA lost Miles Jack for the season today. So the Bruins lose their best player, and he's really good. Suffered a knee injury yesterday in workouts. That's three starters down for UCLA. But, you know, U of A lost Scooby Wright earlier in the season, too. You lose players. U of A had to plug in a walk-on. UCLA, you would think, would have a little bit more depth than that. So that's a big, big part of the UCLA-Arizona matchup. Pedro Gomez is next. Michael Fabiano in about 10 minutes with all your fantasy football stuff. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-Arizona-Arizona-centric. Television show tonight at 6 p.m. on Fox Sports Arizona with Peter King and Ronnie Lott and our recruiting roundup. I'll get it right. Our recruiting roundup with Jared Cohen and Jason Jewell. Back with more after this timeout. Time to talk baseball with Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider. The weekly segment that I very much look forward to. Except today, I knew that you and I were going to have to talk about the passing of Yogi Berra. And I thought of our mutual friend, Joe Garagiola Sr. this morning. I was going to send Joe just a phone call or an email or a text not to come on the air today, because I know this is probably devastating for him. But what are your thoughts, memories, recollections of Yogi Berra?
One of the most genuine, nice people I've ever met in the game. Always took time. I mean, people, you know, when you went to Yankee Stadium and he was there, if you were a visiting writer or, you know, after I left the Republic when I was with ESPN, it didn't matter. It didn't matter who you were with. You could be from, you know, a 5,000 subscription paper. He was going to give you a little bit of time. It didn't matter. And even at an advanced age, he would always be kind enough to say, hey, how are you doing? Even if he didn't remember your name, he kind of remembered your face, things like that. And in terms of the player, Yogi Berra, I think a lot of people, you know, when you stand next to him, well, when you stood next to him these last few years, I think you were amazed because he was probably about 5'8", 5'9".
Right.
Now, you know, people do tend to shrink a little bit with old age. So let's say he was 5'10 or 5'11 at his peak. He was not by any means a menacing, large human being, but yet I know in talking to my grandfather, who was a huge baseball fan, you know, in Cuba, he used to rave about Yogi Berra's winning style. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about Derek Jeter, the winner, how he was on the 5 World Series championship teams, went to a few other World Series, was always in the playoffs. Well, that was Yogi Berra before Derek Jeter.
Mm.
And, you know, to get 10 World Series rings, championship rings, tells you everything you need to know about how he was. You know, people could say, oh, yeah, but he was with DiMaggio. He was with Mantle. Doesn't matter. He was the one in the middle of that lineup. He was the one driving in the key runs also. He was the one behind the plate for most of his career before he moved out to left field. And, you know, he was absolutely the captain, so to speak, of those great Yankee clubs of the 50s.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, if you were to put his numbers, I heard this morning and read it as well. If you were to take Buster Posey's career where he is right now and times it by 4, you'd come up with Yogi Berra's career. That's how good he was and the number of MVPs and the awards that he brought in. And you talked about his stature, his size, that people just don't. If they really studied his career, he's known more for his malprops than he is for what he accomplished on the field in a strange sort of way.
No doubt. Yeah, everybody knows a Yogiism. You know, it ain't over till it's over.
Right.
Oh, nobody goes to that restaurant anymore. It's too crowded. You know, How many slices would you like that pizza cut into? Just four. I'm not hungry enough for eight. You know, things like that. Everybody knows that, yes, he had a wit that may have been natural, but it may have also just been by accident. But Yogi Berra, the player, I mean, this was a three-time most valuable player at the same time that Mickey Mantle was playing. You know, he was the guy and finished, by the way, in the top 10, I think, another four times. So you're talking about somebody who seven times in his career played, was MVP caliber. When it came to Yogi Berra, the player, a lot does get lost because of Yogi Berra, the personality, because of the jokester, so to speak.
Sure.
But he was a phenomenal, phenomenal player, and it's no surprise that he's in the Hall of Fame. But again, I think if anybody ever stood next to him, you'd be like, oh my God, that's Yogi Berra, that little guy?
You know,
it tells you what a great player he was.
Pedro, I heard that he does not have a monument out of Monument Valley at Yankee Stadium. I'd heard that.
You know, I haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium to see what they've done. But if you've read that, then obviously it's true. That is surprising because he embodied those fantastic 1950s Yankees teams just as much as Mantle or Whitey Ford or anybody else that played on those clubs. And that's actually, I would hope that that would get rectified.
Yeah, yeah. No, I heard that this morning. I was surprised by that. And I think it's a good, it's something good to follow up on for sure. Let's switch over to the Diamondbacks. I'm going to throw some names at you and just tell me, do you think that they are going to be back next season or not? From what you understand, what you see, I don't need to know contractual status. I don't want to put you that much on the spot. Where are you at on Brad Ziegler returning here next year?
I would say yes. I think that that's a position that he has, for the most part, solidified. I know he's not that overblowing type closer where, you know, a swing and miss type guy. But he gets the job done, and until you have a better option, you have to have Brad Ziegler back.
Is that their top option in the offseason is to find somebody to replace him, though, to put him back as a setup guy?
Ideally, yes, but finding a closer, it almost happens within your system by accident sometimes. So I think, I mean, let's not forget, Mariano Rivera was a starter in the Yankees minor league system before they said, let's try him out as a setup guy. And he was John Wetland's setup guy. And then when Wetland was finishing up his contract, they said, let's turn it over to Mariano. And you know, the rest is obviously history. Dennis Eckersley, one of the all-time great closers as well, came to Oakland as a starter. And Dave Duncan, the pitching coach, who, by the way, is the coordinator of all pitching for the Diamondbacks, said, you know what, we're going to try you at closer. And he turned into the best closer of that era. So I think sometimes you find a closer within your system, and Dave Duncan is certainly somebody who has been able to do that. Adam Wainwright was a closer with the Cardinals before he turned into a starter. That was also Dave Duncan. You know, it can go in reverse as well, but I think that going out and paying for a closer is probably not something this administration wants to do.
But I am hearing, though, internally over there, that they're going to make another run at Aroldis Chapman in the offseason.
Well, it would be a trade, and it would depend on what you want to give up. And that's why I say better option might be trying to find one within. I know that they are enamored with Aroldis Chapman. But when you consider, I know you don't want to talk contracts, but he has only got 1 year left before he turns into a free agent.
That's
so
fair.
You've only got 1 year of control. Are you really going to want to give up a big chip or two to get Aroldis Chapman for 1 year? If you think that's how close you are, then if you're Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa, yes, I think you do that. But I think that they would be better off looking for a starting pitcher who can anchor the rotation as opposed to let's get a closer and then worry about the starter. The starter, to me, and you talk to people around baseball, that's more of a priority for the Diamondbacks.
Okay, so some quick thumbnails here. Josh Colemanter, is he back next year?
Probably. You know, I think he's arbitration eligible this year, so his salary will jump, but it won't jump to some, you know, just through the stratosphere type number. It'll probably be a couple of million. And, boy, he provides something that a lot of clubs always need, that long man, the guy who can spot start, guy who can do almost anything. I would say yes.
Robbie Ray. I think it's a tough one.
You know, he's been in three organizations.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his late 20s. He's a left-hander, and you've always got to wonder why a lefty who throws pretty well has been moved around so much, in his minor league career. So I would say that's probably a no.
If you were to look at a guy on the roster, in the rotation, I should say, that in your opinion, you look at, of all the guys they've used this year consistently, I mean, here in the last few weeks, they've been bringing up you and me and Larry and Mo and Curly, it feels like, who is not going to be back? Is it Ray? You know,
probably Ray. I like Blair, by the way.
Do you?
I think he's somebody that they are really fond of, and they think he has a high ceiling. I would look for them to really try to develop him into a two or a three in the rotation.
Before you get out of here, the Dodgers, the last couple of nights, the Diamondbacks end up winning. Of course, they haven't faced two guys named Greinke or Kershaw, and they'll do that tonight and tomorrow afternoon. Do you see the Dodgers as the team in the National League as things play out right now?
It's funny because I was talking to somebody who works in a front office who told me the Dodgers are at their best when they have guys injured because they have so many stars that when everybody's healthy, that's when they have their biggest issues. Because now all of a sudden you've got to find at-bats and innings for everybody. So, I as they get more healthy, I think that could be a detriment to the Dodgers. And, you've got to have Greinke and Kershaw be almost perfect on the 2 days they pitch and then just hope you can squeak out a win one of the other two games before you turn it over again to Greinke or Kershaw in the postseason. So, they still have some holes in the middle relief. The healthier they get, the more problems they have. I don't know that they are... They could obviously go on a run because they're that talented.
Sure.
But, boy, it's going to be tough. There's going to be guys left off their postseason roster that are going to be very upset. And when you see a guy like Matt Latos, who they traded for at the trade deadline, let go with 2 weeks to go in the season, it really tells you a lot about Matt Latos. Because that's a guy who could just come in. If you're losing a game 8-0 in the third inning, you could just tell Matt Latos, go out there and pitch four innings and save the bullpen for us. And the fact that they did not want him around for these last 2 weeks tells you something maybe about the personality of Matt Latos and how that wasn't gelling. So they have issues when everyone's healthy, and that's a potential red flag, I think, to look for.
Okay, the Texas football story, just to finish with you, you were in San Antonio a few weeks ago. The news has come out this morning from Outside the Lines that the assistant coach has admitted that he ordered the players to do what they did to the referee. Going back on that, we have the video of it too for those that haven't seen it. But what's your latest reaction to this story?
It's more surprised than anything because, a lot of times the high school staff will have an assistant coach who is not necessarily a teacher. It's just somebody who may have played high school ball and is just helping out with the football team. Mm-hmm. And when you hear the name Mac Breed, if you Google him, you find out that, yes, he did play football at Jay High School in San Antonio, at that same school. But he went on to play at Mizzou. He got his degree from Mizzou. And Mizzou is not a factory where just jocks roll in and pick up a degree. Mizzou is a good university, has a good academic standing. So this is not somebody that is a rogue person per se, but obviously his actions that day, incredibly rogue and incredibly naive to think that it would not come back to bite him. And boy, if that's not a lesson for a lot of people in any field to really latch onto, I don't know what is, because he is not an idiot. He is not, a guy who was just...
He was in that moment. He was an idiot in that moment, it sounds like.
Without question.
Yeah.
Without question he was. And he's going to pay a severe price because my understanding in talking to a source from that school district is once he has his disciplinary hearing, which is law, you have to have that for full-time teachers, he will be let go is my understanding.
What happens to the kids?
The kids are going to be in an alternative school for the rest of the school year.
Hmm.
Their disciplinary hearing is today, actually, Wednesday. They're going to probably remain at that alternative school, and they're going to have an opportunity. One of them is a senior, so he is going to hopefully get his degree, his high school degree, diploma, and, you know, graduate and maybe go on to college, whatever he does. But he should finish out. He's not going to be allowed to play sports because they don't have it at the alternative school. It's kind of a last chance type school, which a lot of school districts have, including right. here in the Valley.
Right, right.
The other kid, though, is a sophomore. So he's got 2 years left. My understanding is as long as he doesn't get into trouble, he could very well be allowed to re-enroll into Jay next school year and be able to at least finish a couple of years of sports again. But boy, he's got to really, really stay on the straight and narrow because, you know, even a parking ticket could be enough to say that's it. He's done.
Yeah. Appreciate the time.
I exaggerate, of course, but you know what?
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean that. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Brad, always a pleasure.
Good visiting with you. There's Pedro Gomez, ESPN's the great Pedro Gomez, Valley resident. Appreciate his time. Michael Fabiano with the Fantasy Football Focus on the other side. Michael, right there on the set of the NFL Network. I don't know about you. My team blows in a lot of positions. We'll see if we can squeeze in a little bit of time with Michael Fabiano, a busy man. That's next. Michael Fabiano joins us now, NFL Media Senior Fantasy Analyst at NFL.com, the Hall of Famer. Every week, what's going on the fantasy football front? What do you do? Let's play that game with Michael. What do you do if you are the owner of Andrew Luck? Because I'm just getting run over with how much patience should I have with Andrew Luck. What are your thoughts there, Michael?
Keep starting him. It's going to turn around. He's had two pretty tough matchups in Buffalo and then against the Jets. Things will turn around as soon as this week against Tennessee.
What do you do if you have the Dallas Cowboys offense now that Jason Witten's hurt and Dez is out and Romo's out? What do you do?
Well, there's not much you can do. If you have Romo, you go out and pick up someone like Tyrod Taylor, for example. You're not replacing Dez Bryant. Terrence Williams still has wide receiver 3-4 value, although Brandon Weeden clearly will hurt his appeal. Witten might play this week. We're not sure yet. If he doesn't, Gavin Escobar becomes a sleeper at a tight end position that's got a few injuries with some guys banged up after this past week.
Fantasy owners, 2 weeks in, they're panicking. What advice would you give them?
Don't panic. It's 2 weeks. I mean, there are all kinds of weird things that happen every single year, especially at the beginning of the season. I remember years ago, after 3 or 4 weeks, Trent Dilfer playing for the Browns had more fantasy points than Peyton Manning, and that was during his Colts days, and everyone was up in arms. Things will right themselves, especially with superstars like Andrew Luck. So keep the faith. But I will tell you this, Brad, it's time to start making trades, especially if you've got players whose value is on the rise, like Carson Palmer, for example, like Larry Fitzgerald, two guys with the Cardinals. And then also look at players that you can acquire that other people might be freaking out about, like Luck, like Jeremy Hill, for example.
Mm-hmm. Trends, good or bad, that you're seeing through 2 weeks?
Well, the tight end position is not as weak as we thought it was. You're seeing Tyler Eifert come in and make an impact, Eric Ebron, Ladarius Green. So it wasn't as terrible as we all thought it was starting the season. That's one trend. Another trend, the quarterbacks, I'm telling you, next year I might not draft a quarterback until like the 10th or 12th round because you had 20 quarterbacks score 18 or more fantasy points this past week. And Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, and Tony Romo were not among them. You can play the matchups with quarterbacks. If you have Luck, Rodgers, obviously that is a major advantage, even to a degree Russell Wilson. But, I mean, Drew Brees hasn't been good so far this year. Peyton Manning's had one bad, one good. So don't be afraid to start guys. I'm not saying to bench any of your elite players at quarterback, but don't be afraid to start some of these Marcus Mariotas and Tyrod Taylors of the world because they're putting up some numbers right now.
The Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Before we let you go, you mentioned Fitzgerald. Three mm-hmm. touchdowns last week. I think last week you said he was undrafted in some leagues. Who do you like? Who do you dislike? And Fitz would have to be at the top of the list, right, for receivers?
Yeah, well, he's certainly up there at wide receiver. I still love John Brown. I'm a big fan of John Brown. I think he's going to have a pretty good game this week as well against the Niners. If we're talking starts and sits at quarterback, we're looking at Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Carson, Mariota, who I like, players I'm sitting, Stafford. I don't like Kaepernick against the Cardinals. I was wrong about Bradford last week, and I don't like him this week against the Jets. There's not many players I'm going to start against the Jets defense. They are that good this year outside of the elite players. At running back, I like Latavius Murray against the Browns, Isaiah Crowell, Joseph Randle against Atlanta, and I like Danny Woodhead as a nice flex starter. guys I'm sitting down, Doug Martin, Giovanni Bernard, who played more last week because Jeremy Hill was benched because of two fumbles. Not a big fan of Joik Bell either. He's going to be in my sit list for a long time with Amir Abdullah there. And at wide receiver, make sure you have DeAndre Hopkins in your lineup despite a bad game last week. I like Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson, who will be on NFL Fantasy Live on Thursday. Start Steve Smith. I'm benching Brandon Cooks, assuming Drew Brees can't play or is limited. We'll see what happens there. But Cooks is someone I really liked. But if Brees is not behind center, that really hurts his value. Sitting Golden Tate, Mike Wallace, and Vincent Jackson against the Texans.
Good stuff as always, Michael. Thanks.
Have a good one.
So what's cool about the staff that we have is we're all working on different projects. So here on the Wednesday show, we do our thing, and then we put the TV show together. TV show's tonight on Fox, Fox Sports Arizona, at 6 and at 10, or following the Diamondbacks game, and then at 1 a.m. So in the last few weeks, we've just been working on this TV show, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And you guys watch us on the stream every day. We do our thing. It's also over on AZ Central Sports. And we're doing this right in the middle of football season. It's like the perfect storm. But we're having a great time doing it. And the feedback so far has been tremendous. I mean, some people want me to be more outside of the Pac-12 and to do NAU. We've done NAU. I've had Jerome on. I'll have Jerome on again. Some of you want me to do more recruiting around the state rather than just recruiting Roundup guys that are doing it here in the Valley and in Tucson. Only thing I can say on that is no offense, but if you have a kid that's getting recruited, let us know. Doesn't matter what part of the state. If we can find some video of them, that's what it's all about. But I think that the TV show tonight, we have Peter King and Ronnie Lott and Recruiting Roundup, and it's been a lot of fun. I hope you check it out at 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and then they have a DVR time that runs at 1 a.m. And the Arizona Ford dealers, I can't say enough about them jumping on board and being a part of it from the get-go, from idea phase of we are in. So I appreciate the Arizona Ford dealers and everybody that's been involved with the show to this point. We're, I think today's episode number 7. And it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys supporting it as well. All right, so on the college end this weekend, it's actually one of those weekends for me that starts tomorrow night. I'm going to go watch Centennial against Hamilton tomorrow night. It's two of the best programs in the state. I want to see both of them. They're right near the house. So I'll go see Centennial and Hamilton. Friday night, I may go to a high school game. I'm usually at water polo. It's one of those deals with my son. They actually want me to play, Eric. No, they do. They've hit me. Well, how can I hurt myself? I can't hurt myself in water polo.
Hey, I can't make it in. Why? I almost drowned last night.
Well, there is that. A 6'8" water polo guy. So the guy that runs
the pool. How deep is the pool today?
10.
Oh, okay. So you couldn't stick. Yeah, that's a tough sport. That's a hard sport.
So my 10-year-old, I take him to it because he wants to try it. And he's doing the basketball thing, and it's fine. But I show up, and my wife, who was a swimmer in high school and in college, she still swims. They immediately hit the two of us up to be on their master's program. Immediately, like, well, you two should be playing. We have tournaments in Albuquerque and Mission Viejo, and you'd be great. And I'm thinking what you're thinking. I don't want to drown because I watch the workout. They do this dry land stuff. Those of you that swim, you know, dry land is a tail kicking. And they run stairs. It just looks dreadful, you know. But the other side of it is you get in a pool and you get to drown somebody. At 6'8", they have a centerman. So I could put my hands in the goalpost, right? So, yeah, like that. So they have a centerman in water polo. I've never played it, guys. I've never broadcast water polo, but I see how hard they work, and they practice for 2.5 and 3 hours. They go 5 and 6 days a week. Like, it just looks like a lot of work. But, you know, I may be at water polo this weekend. Here we may have some basketball stuff going on. And then Sunday I'm going to the Cardinals game. I don't go to every Cardinals game. I don't find the need to be. I have friends that have tickets, or I'll get tickets. I don't feel the need to be sitting in a press box like I used to. It's not that there's not nice people there, and it's not that it's not a nice working condition. It's just I could sit in my office, and I can watch everything, and I've got stats all over the place, and you know, I've got ways to cover the game just, if not even more so, efficiently than how it used to be for what we do in the world of digital. It's just changed. So I'm kicking that around. The ASU-USC game is not as big a deal in the state as Arizona-UCLA. And now with Miles Jack out, that's a game changer. I mean, I think U of A, Eric, I think U of A wins. I think they're going to win this game. Rosen's a good quarterback. I don't know if he's that good.
And they may get Scooby right back. Maybe. Maybe.
So if they win that game, they're 16 this week. What do you think? They're 10? Because UCLA is 9. I don't see them that good.
Yeah, it just depends. But the ratings are just, I mean, the rankings
I know.
They're as close to meaningless at this time of year as possible. They mean nothing.
But if you're U of A and you've never done anything in football of subsequence through the years, last year they did, but give me 2, 3, 4, 5 years of consistency.
Hasn't happened.
Hasn't happened in a long time. And then on, you know, the Saturday night game with ASU, I've talked at ad nauseum, I think, about Sark being in trouble and some of the names floating around if he gets punched out this week. On the ASU side, Todd Graham's teams usually get better if Bercovici runs the football. We've gone through that.
And they're going to have Kalen Ballage back.
They're going to have Kalen Ballage back, but what's he going to look like? You know, he's coming off mono. Mono's no joke.
He's been practicing, though. It's not like he's, you know, well, he's been
20 carries? Is he ready? Is he ready for that workload yet?
No.
Because I don't think USC's run defense is that good.
But just having him on the field gives USC something else to prepare for.
And I saw that that 9 a.m. Saturday morning is BYU Michigan. And I'm fascinated with Harbaugh. I've been listening to their games. Deerdorf does their games. And they weren't very good early last week either. But BYU Michigan at 9 a.m., that's must see for me. I want to see Texas A&M just crush Arkansas. I want to see Brett Bielema just run for the hills.
A&M will crush Arkansas.
They will. They will. So, I don't know. This weekend, it's like, it's one of those guys where you got to do extra work now because you got to just check out this weekend. Hey, honey, I'll change the light bulbs here on Wednesday, and I'll arrange the paint in the garage, and I'll go do this and do that because I'm off limits this whole weekend. It's one of those deals. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat.